chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew 7 and verse 1. I'll be reading down through verse 5. Matthew 7 and 1. Amen. Amen. How many's thankful for the Word of God? Oh, what a treasure. Where would we be without the Word of God? Oh, He's been good to us. He's been so good to us. He's been so good to us. Amen. This is the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew is an eyewitness, and sometimes we might think that we know what God wants, but we really don't know what God wants unless we get close to God. And if Matthew, along with the other disciples, was close to God, I want to pay attention to what Matthew is saying here, because he was close to God. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, there's a beam in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Would you help me pray tonight that God will have His way? God, we need You in this place. Lord, we thank You. Oh, we are humbled by how You have visited us already, how You have filled this place with Your glory and Your presence. We are humbled. We are thankful. But God, we're asking You to speak to our hearts tonight, that we can receive what You have for us. Help us to receive it. Let Your anointing flow in this place, and we give You all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Judge not, that ye be not judged. You know, this is something that we wrestle with as Christians. We wrestle with it as people in life in general. Because when we just take that scripture and we say, judge not, that ye be not judged, we look at that and if we say, well, if I just assume the best in everybody. So everybody that I look at, I just believe that their motives are good, their intentions are good and pure, and I'm going to assume that they don't have any evil intentions and that they mean well. Well, let me just tell you, if that's the way that you look at it, and you say, and I'm going to do that because the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged, and so therefore, when I'm walking out from Walmart and it's nighttime and I'm walking out to my car and all of a sudden I see somebody coming at me with a big knife, oh, but I'm going to believe that they have good intentions. I don't want to judge them that they intend to, you know, hurt me with that knife or steal from me or whatever. I'm going to believe the best in them, and I'm just going to assume that they mean well. Well, you got to be careful, because you just might end up on the wrong end of that knife blade, if you know what I mean. And so we wrestle with this, because we read this and we see that Jesus Himself is saying here, judge not, that ye be not judged. And I want to just take a few moments and speak to this. And there's no way that I could even begin to completely cover this subject. It's very deep, it's very vast, it is a long study. But I do want to touch on this tonight, because it is important as Christians that we learn how to judge not and be not judged, and yet to be discerning. And if I were to title this tonight, I would just put this title on it: discerning without a judgmental spirit. Discerning without a judgmental spirit. Now Jesus is talking here, and basically what He's saying is however you judge others is how you're going to be judged. And so if I were to try to break it down into a simple example, if all of a sudden your neighbor came over and you saw him, you know, pushing your bicycle out in front of your yard, and you saw him just kind of passing by your house, you know, he was just kind of in front of your yard there, and you ran out to him real quick and you grabbed him by the throat and you shook him and you said, "What are you doing with my bicycle here? You have no right. I should have known that you're a thief. I should have known that you are a stealer of bicycles, and I should have known it." And you're angry with him and you take it from him, and he says, "Oh no, I didn't steal it." And you say, "Yes, you do," and you grab him by the throat. You might find out later that he was walking to the store, and on his way back, he saw a bicycle somebody had left there, and he saw that it was yours. He recognized it, and he was bringing it back to you. And about the time he got to your lawn, you looked out and you saw him bring the bicycle, and you ran out and grabbed him by the throat. Why? Because you judged him, and you immediately judged that he was a thief, and you looked at what he was doing. You made a judgment about what he is doing, and you never took a moment to think if there could be more to the story than what you see. Now, that's a kind of a silly example, but it could happen. And that's how it is whenever we look at other people. Sometimes we're quick to judge. "Oh, look at that. Oh, look at him. Do you see the way he looked at so-and-so? Oh, my. I saw that look he gave them." Well, how do you know that that's what he was doing? Maybe he was scowling because he was thinking, he was trying to remember what he's got to do tomorrow. We don't know, but we're quick to judge. If somebody doesn't look just right, or if they look at us a little funny, we're quick to judge. We just want to, you know, that's just our nature. We're quick to judge. And Jesus is saying, you got to be careful about judging quickly. If you're quick to judge and you're quick to assume the worst about somebody, guess what's going to happen back to you? People are going to judge you that way. All of a sudden now, when you don't mean any wrong, when you're trying to do the right thing, but maybe you look a little different, you might be frowning a certain way, or you might be walking a bicycle trying to do a good deed to somebody, somebody else is going to judge you if you judge others harshly. And so that's what he's saying. And he's also saying, oh my, how quickly we are to look at others and we see their faults. Their faults are so horrible and so big. And Jesus says, hey, don't forget that you've got some faults. If we're going to judge somebody else for their faults, we got to remember that we have faults. And Jesus is saying, if you look at your neighbor and you say, you know what? You've got a splinter in your eye. You've got something in your eye. You can't see properly, and you need to get that splinter out of your eye, so to speak. It's a figurative term, but you need to get that. You can't see well. You need to get the blockage out of your eye, and it's a little bit of a blockage. And Jesus said, but you don't know that you've got a big old beam in your eye, sitting here criticizing somebody else for the little splinter in their eye, and you've got a big old beam in your eye. And Jesus is saying, what he's saying here is, sometimes when we look at others and we judge them and we find all of their faults and we say, oh my, how terrible they are and what they're doing. Sometimes if we were able to just kind of get outside of ourselves and go over and listen to what other people are saying about us, ooh, we might find out that it's even worse than what we see in other people. Jesus is saying, be careful about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, a couple of verses here says, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company or not to hang out with fornicators. Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, blackmailers, or with idolaters. You know, you get an extortioner. Somebody that basically comes and says, I saw you doing something you weren't supposed to do. But if you'll give me $50 a week, quietly under the table, I won't say anything about it. Well, that's blackmail. It's extortion. It's trying to get something out of somebody. And the Bible talks about extortioners. And sometimes we look at it, we say, well, I don't know any extortioners. Well, you might. You might know some people that say, you know what? I know your past. And I'll tell you, you better be nice to me or I'll share with everybody your past. Let me just encourage somebody. If you've got a past, as we all do, if you were born and you breathed as a little baby and you're still breathing at whatever age you are, you've got a past. You've got something in your past that you're not proud of, something that shouldn't be there. And let me just say that when you and I come up to an altar and we repent of all of our sins, we're baptized in the name of Jesus, and our sins are remitted away, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, walking and talking with Him. Whatever is in our past is forgiven by God. And so therefore, if somebody comes up to you and they say, you know what, I know your past, and I know what you've done in the past, and you know what, I think you need to be nice to me, or I'll just tell everybody. You ought to tell them, really, honestly, I know I've got a past and Jesus has forgiven me of all of my past, and there's nothing that you can do to cause that those sins to be unforgiven again because Jesus washed it all away. So if you want to go and tell everybody what I did, all you're doing is adding to my testimony so that they all see how much more God has brought me out of. Amen. We need to be careful about getting concerned about people who are going to tell on our past. If it's under the blood, if you've repented of your sins and it's under the blood and God has forgiven you, people might not forgive you. But Jesus does, and I promise you, there's going to be a day that you're not going to be standing in front of your neighbor in judgment. You're not going to be standing in front of a family member in judgment. You're going to be standing in front of God, and if He has forgiven you and cleansed you, you don't have anything to worry about. But oh my, if we're focused on trying to please our neighbors and our family, you're going to be, if you live to be 150 years old, you could never please your neighbors. You could never please your family. It's just the way it is. And he says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But he says, all of a sudden he starts talking about the church, those who claim to be a Christian, those who claim to be on the road to heaven. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, not to hang out with, if any man that is called a brother. So in other words, if they claim to be a Christian, if they claim to be living for God, if any man that is called a brother is a fornicator, current. If he's been a fornicator, Paul's not talking about that. He's saying if there is a brother that is not living right and is a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. What's he talking about here? Jesus said, don't judge anybody. Judge not that you be not judged. So I think I should just assume everybody's great. Well, let me just tell you. If you say, well, I don't want to judge. They all invited me to the bar room to a big party this weekend, and I don't want to judge. I want to, you know, Jesus said, judge not. So I'll go with them, assuming that they're all just going to drink some ice water. Oh, we're being a fool. The devil's just leading us like a sheep going to the slaughter. But whenever we use wisdom and we say, you know what? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to hope for the best. But I see, I know they're telling, they're bragging about how all the fornication they're doing. They're bragging about all the idolatry in their life. They're worshiping all the heroes of this world. And I know that they're doing these things. Paul says, you need to be careful who you hang out with, not just in the world, but also with those that claim to be a Christian. How many know that there are people in our lives? Every one of us have this. I know you do. I've got them in my family. I've got them in friends. I've got people that try to convince me that they are Christians that love God with all their heart, and yet when I'm around them, something isn't right. They either, you know, when you leave and somebody, the way they've been talking, you just feel dirty. You know, they're always trying to get on to sensual subjects, or they're always trying to tell dirty jokes, or they're always, you know, everything that comes out of their mouth is unclean language, and you're just around them and just nonstop, and after you get done around them, you just feel kind of dirty. You feel like you need to go take a spiritual bath, and you probably do. And that's how it is whenever there are some people that claim to be a Christian that are not interested in changing. And we trouble with that. We're like, well, I like hanging out with them. Well, we need to be careful. This is where discernment comes in. Now, that word discernment, we may or may not know what that means, but basically, discerning would be this. I hear a noise. I'm sleeping, and I heard a noise. Sounded like it's somebody trying to come in my front door. Let me go see what's going on. And you go in there, and you see somebody walking in, and it's shadowy and dark, and you can barely see them. And you see that they're carrying something, and you're thinking, oh my, oh wow, do they have a gun? Do they have a knife? What do they have? Or do they just have, maybe they're carrying a little soda that they're drinking? What do they have? Do they have something that can hurt me? Or do they have something that's not going to hurt me? And you look and you can't hardly see in the dark, and you're trying to figure out what it is. It looks like it could be bad, but it might not be bad, but you're not sure. And so you just assume it's bad, and you basically, you take a big old baseball bat and you knock them in the head and you kill them. And now all of a sudden you look, and whenever the police come and the lights are on, you see that they had too much to drink and they were stumbling home, and they thought that was their house, and they walked in. And they were they had just, you know, been coming from a drunken party, and as they were going out the door of the party, they saw some bananas there, and they grabbed a banana, and they were headed home carrying this banana, half drunk out of their wits, and they walked in the wrong house, and now you knocked them upside the head. Why? Because you did not discern in the darkness. It was hard to figure out whether that was a weapon or whether it was something good, and you made the wrong assumption. So judging is like that, if I could use that example. When we are a Christian, when we look at somebody and the way they are acting, or the way, you know, the way that their attitude, whatever it is, when we look at them and we immediately just assume the worst, it's like when that person breaks in your house, you see something in their hand, and you assume it's a gun or a knife, and you do bad things. Well, I thought that they were out to hurt me. Well, what you did is you judged quickly. But discernment is trying to see through the darkness and waiting until there's a little bit of a light that shines from the window, and you look, and then maybe you get a little bit of a glimpse, and after a little bit, you're thinking, well, I'm not sure, and you make your way over to the light switch, and you flip on the light switch. Sure enough, it's a drunk man with just a banana in his hand, and he's wandering around, doesn't know what house he's in. Discernment would be careful to make sure that you don't take action until you know what's going on. And this is what Paul's talking about. Jesus is saying, judge not that you be not judged. But yet Paul's saying, hey, if somebody is just flat out not living for God right, they're claiming to be a Christian, they claim to be holy, but they're out, they're always getting drunk all the time, they're extortioners, they're idolaters, they're fornicating all the time, then don't hang out with them. That's what Paul's saying. Leave them alone. You don't have to be mean to them. You don't have to go around with dirty looks at them, but just don't hang out with them. You see them? Hi, how are you? Oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah, everything going okay? Oh, good, good. Okay, well, I need to get going. Take care. I'll be praying for you. You know, that's not hanging out. That's being discerning and saying, you know what, something doesn't feel right here. And I'm afraid if I hang around with the wrong people, something might pull me the wrong way. I might believe something. There's a lot of people that have lying spirits. You know, the Bible talks about, we talked about that here recently, about lying spirits. And the Bible even talks about a lying spirit, Jehoshaphat and the other kings that were basically... There was an angel that stood before the Lord and said, I'll go down there and become a lie as a lying spirit, and I'll fool them. Let me just tell you, there are people that have lying spirits. And sometimes these people, boy, they look great. Can I tell you that there are people that we will love, we will pray for them, we will try to help them, that will want to come to this church, and that maybe a guest, and they'll want to come, and we want to see them saved, we want to help them. But we've got to be discerning and make sure that we're not actually, if a man is coming in with a knife or a gun, that we don't go, well, I'm sure all he's got is probably just a banana in his hand, so I'll just assume that it's a banana, and I'll just sit down in the chair and wait for him to come over and sit down, and we'll have a good old cup of hot tea. He may not be there for hot tea. He might be in there to hurt you or to steal from you. You don't know. But rather than be quick to judge, and when we get guests coming, rather than be just quick to judge and just say, well, look at them. They're not, you know, look at them. Their life's all messed up. So we don't want any of that around here. Oh, yes, we do. Because Jesus died for everybody. But the difference is we've got to be careful. As a church body, we've got to be careful that we have discerning of spirits, and that we're careful so that if somebody comes to this church, and if they don't have good intentions, if, you know, there's people that's been in trouble with the law and that don't need to be teaching Sunday school. Anybody know what I mean? There's some people that based on things they've done, they don't need to be teaching Sunday school around kids. If I could say that as veiled as I can, let me just say, but God died for them too. God wants to see them saved and go to heaven just like he does you and me, because we got plenty of things he had to forgive us of. But it doesn't mean that if somebody comes and they've had trouble in those areas before, we're not going to just welcome them in to be a Sunday school teacher. Not going to happen. Through discernment, through prayer, we're going to love them, embrace them, trying to help them through. But we will find some other way for them to be used in the church and not around the children. And so there's things like that we use discernment. But when we discern, we don't have to have a judgmental spirit. Say, well, wow, look at all these people. We don't want all these people in our church. My goodness, look at them. They're all messed up. But no. If it was all perfect people in the church, you and I would have to leave. Have you thought about that? Because none of us are perfect. So we'd have to leave all the perfect people here, and we'd all have to leave because God has forgiven us from so much. And so we wrestle with that, and we're saying, Lord, I don't want to be judgmental, and I don't want to, you know, look at people the wrong way, but God, at the same time, I want to make sure that I have discernment. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2, This is beautiful the way that the apostle puts it here. Philippians 3 and 2, he says, Philippians chapter 3 and 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. It's pretty crazy. Imagine claiming to be a Christian and being called a dog, being called an evil worker. He's saying, beware of the concision. What's going on here, Paul? What are you talking about? I'm talking about beware of people that are not safe to be around. People that have the wrong intentions. And basically, in this passage, this word, the Greek word is kunos, and it's basically translated like hounds and like feral hounds, wild, you know, just stray hounds, disease-ridden, dirty scavengers, people that are looking around trying to dig up evil. And the evil workers that he's talking about here would be kakus ergatas, is the root word, are those who try to convince others to join in perverse ways. There are some that might come to church that we want to see saved, that have been involved in homosexuality in their life, and they have that's just been what they've dealt with, and that's where they are. And can I say right now? Let me just make a very clear statement about Real Life Church here, that we love everybody, including homosexuals. You say, "Well, do you believe that homosexuality is okay?" No, I don't. And that's not my decision. That's what God said in His Word. So we're either going to base Real Life Church upon what the Bible says, or we're going to base it on science or whatever anybody else. Well, it just so happens that Real Life Church is based upon the Bible. We take the Bible and we say that whatever God says in the Bible is okay or not okay, that's what we're going to believe and subscribe to. So whenever somebody has been involved in homosexuality or is involved in homosexuality and they want to come to the church, we welcome them. They are welcome to come and be a guest at this church. But it doesn't mean that we are going to embrace and say that homosexuality is okay. It's not okay. God says it's an abomination, and so therefore we teach and preach that it is an abomination. Nevertheless, when somebody comes and they're struggling with that, or if that's part of their lifestyle, we're gonna try to work with them and pray with them. But if they came in here to try to coax and persuade other people to become like them, not going to happen without a spiritual warfare fight. Not going to happen in this church. If somebody is wrestling with that, we will try to help them to become delivered from that so that they can be forgiven from it, just like God had to forgive all of us from whatever we were dealing with. He can forgive the homosexual. He can deliver them from homosexuality. He can do it, and He has done it many, many times. But it requires that person wanting to be delivered, being willing to be delivered. And so discernment, judgment would be, you know, just quick judgment would be saying, well, you know what, they don't have any good intentions here. They're just here trying to cause trouble and run them out. No. As a pastor and as us, as Bible-believing believers, we need to be careful and be discerning and pray about it and say, God, if their spirit's right and they want to be saved, then God, help us to help them to be saved. Help us to do what we can to win them to You and see them delivered from that. But if they start this stuff to where they're trying to find themselves a mate here, that's not going to happen. They can either be delivered or they will be delivered out of the church. Why? Because we have to be careful and protect, and we can't have active demonic solicitation in this church. It just cannot happen. And so those are things where we have to be very careful, that there are those that are dogs, feral, evil workers, and we got to be careful about that. 1 John 4:1 says this, Beloved, talking to the church, believe not every spirit. Really? I try to think the best of people. Jesus said, don't judge. You know, judge not, be not judged. I don't want to be judgmental. Then don't be judgmental with the judgmental spirit that says, look at them. No, that's judgmental. By God's help, this church will never be coined or known and have a reputation as a judgmental church. Now, when the Bible says it's wrong, we're going to preach it's wrong. That's not us judging others. That's the Bible judging others. Whenever the Bible says thou shalt do this, we're going to subscribe to it and do it. When the Bible says thou shalt not do such and such, we're going to abstain from it. And that's the Bible judging. But us, we're not going to look at other people and just go around and say, sure glad I'm not like them. Oh, that's a haughty spirit. That's a judgmental spirit. And we should never become like that, because it would be not too difficult for us to land right back in the miry pit that God delivered us out of. None of us are so perfect that we can make it on our own, but it's only by God's grace and mercy, day by day by day. I don't care if we've been living for God a month or 40 years, living day by day. We need His mercy every day. We need His righteousness, His grace. We need it every day, because we are just sinners saved by grace. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Read a couple of verses here quickly, 11 and 14. And no marvel, no surprise, for Satan himself. Think about it. Think about it. Now, next Monday night, I'm not going to say much about this. I may say something about it Sunday, and I may not. But for the record, Halloween is probably, and I don't do all those holidays that everybody does. I look back into the origin of them, and I'm just saying, no, if they have a pagan origin, you know, I do my best to try to figure out what's right and what's not right by God's help in the scriptures and study and research and history. But if holidays are a pagan origin, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go there. The Bible doesn't command us to, so I don't. But I'll tell you, Halloween, I think, is one of my least favorite ones. Imagine trying to associate with devil stuff. Let me just not say too much there, but I remember as a little kid and going around the neighborhood and going up to doors and knocking on doors and asking for candy. And I remember, I only did it a couple times and shouldn't have been any times, but it happened when I was a little kid, okay? Little kid. And over at my aunt's house and so forth. Anyways, we went around the neighborhood and we knocked on doors, and I'll never forget. I can see it like today. Walked up to this house, and as we walked up, there was a man sitting by the front door, and he had a big axe, a big old hatchet in his hand, and blood dripping down it. And he, oh my, why would I want to do that? I think I'll just go sit in a recliner and have me a good old glass of iced tea and eat me a sandwich and some popcorn. I don't want to go out there and be scared, you know, but something about it that just scares, draws it. But let me get back to my verse here. Verse 14, getting sidetracked. Satan himself, you know, that devil that we think of it as in a red costume with horns on it. You know, you're going to see a lot of devils running around. What's funny is you're going to see a lot of devils next Monday night, but they're devils even without the costume. They don't need the costume to be a devil. Isn't that something? Funny how that is. But anyways, there even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There's going to be a whole lot of people next Monday night. You'll see them walking around the neighborhood, and they're dressed up like an angel. And they ain't no angel, honey. Can I tell you, there's a whole lot of people. You can dress in an angel costume, but it doesn't mean you're an angel. And Satan himself likes to transform himself in an angel of light. Why? Why would he do that? Because he's trying to trick those who are saying, oh, it must be okay. It looks so right. It looks so spiritual. It looks so righteous. Oh, I think I'll subscribe to that. I think I'll hang out with that person because they seem to love and they seem to have such good intentions for everybody. Be careful. You might be hanging out with the devil and not know it. One last verse, Matthew 10 and 16, before I close. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Behold, this is Jesus saying, I send you forth as sheep. Bah. Anybody ever seen sheep? Bah. You see little sheep at the petting zoo? When's the last time you went up to a little sheep and you saw him and he went, bah, rawr? You never saw a sheep do that. Never. Sheep are nice. Sheep are bah. They're so pleasant. And because they're so easygoing and they're not mean and they're not roar like a lion, because of that, lions like to eat them. Bears like to eat them. And so Jesus is saying, behold, I send you forth as sheep. There's a clue that we need to be meek. There's a clue that we need to be soft and gentle to other people. There's a clue. He's sending us out as sheep, not lions, but he's sending us out as sheep. We ought to be loving and gracious to people and love people and hate the devil. We ought to be like a lion when it comes to the devil and sin in our life and in our homes. But when it comes to people, we need to love people. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Anybody ever seen a snake? Here's that snake. That snake's right there. And you come near that snake. And you know what that snake does? When that snake sees somebody coming and he's just kind of stretched out, if he's a rattlesnake, that snake is going to start coiling before you get there. The snake's not going to wait until you come up and grab him by the throat and say, "Hey, Mr. Snake," and he's going, "What are you going to do to me? Let me just sit here and wait till you're done. Let me see if you're going to hurt me." No, no, no. Before you ever get near that snake, you get in the area and he senses that there might be danger. He starts coiling up so he can get some spring to his step, if you will. And so he's wise enough that when he sees what might be danger, he gets prepared for the danger. But a dove flying around, walking around, and you might be able to come up and somebody with a pellet gun might be able to get close to a dove and just shoot them. Why? Because the dove is harmless. The dove is easygoing, and the dove does not sense that there's danger. So Jesus is saying here, as I close, be wise as serpents. When you see danger coming, you start getting prepared just in case. But be as harmless as doves. Don't go around striking out at everybody and judging. Don't go around and every time somebody doesn't do something like you do, we just strike out at them. We're judgmental and saying, "You need to stop that." No, no, no. But at the same time, we need to be careful who we hang around with, who is having an influence in our life. And as we get guests here, we need to be as harmless as doves and love everybody that comes. But we've got to be wise as serpents and make sure that if there's danger in the camp, that we're going to be careful and protect that. So you might see, it's hopefully very, very, very rare, very rare, but you might see me on occasion where I will kind of put a fence and a line, and I'll maybe kind of hold people off from getting too close to the congregation. And I remember when we were back up on the hill years ago, and I remember there was a couple of people that did not need to be around the kids, and nobody knew that. I don't guess, but I sensed it. And in prayer, I felt like that they had problems in those areas. And I tried to put a fence there and keep them away from the kids. I didn't want to just go around and put a big sign up saying, "Hey, you know what they've done before?" But we have to be careful. So all I'm saying is we've got to be wise as serpents and careful, but as harmless as doves. But let this church always be a loving church as we stand. Let's always be a loving church, harmless as doves, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Amen. As they sing something, I wonder tonight if we could just reflect on this as we get ready to close. I wonder if you're here close to your family there, if you'll grab them by the hand. Maybe you can grab Sister Clementine and Sister Beth's hand there. The two of you can join hands. And as a family over there, if you all can connect together. And let's just take a moment before we dismiss and ask God to help us to be wise but harmless.